Wyatt, and thank all of you for joining together with us in song this morning. And as I said, it's great to be here. You know, back on the 2nd of August, I actually brought a lesson one Sunday morning on the subject, Things You Should Know About Training Your Children. Now here today, I want to close out the month with a lesson entitled, What Should I Teach My Children? Because I believe there are a number of things that you and I ought to be teaching our children. Yes, it's important to train them. It is important. But what do I teach my children? What should I be teaching them? You know, school has started and everybody's gone back to school and we're concerned about secular education. That's great and that's wonderful. But there's some things that we ought to be teaching our kids in a spiritual way. And so this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about five things that we need to be teaching our children. You know, our God gives us great guidance concerning the things that really matter in life. He does. It should be a natural concern for parents to give their children the best upbringing that they possibly can in life. You know, we always want to give them wonderful, good, and important gifts of life, but there's nothing more important than you can give your children than some of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. Societies have a vastly different view of this, by the way, and some have even gone so far as to even disregard the home and the importance of teaching our children. But God gives us great guidance concerning the thing that really matters in life. And the church began during a time of great wickedness and oppression by the Roman government. If you were to look back in history, you would find that when parents were teaching their children back during the days of the Roman Empire, they were teaching them about God. They were teaching them important things. And even amidst all of the persecution that was going on and the social ridicule of Christians, they were able to instill faith in their children and to see a rapid growth of the church of the kingdom of God. Next slide, George. We're having a problem here. Folks, I learned to preach without PowerPoint, and I can still do it. You want to see me? Dwight, you might go back there and help me if you don't mind. There we are. We're back on track. You want to help them, maybe? None of us are exempt from teaching and training our children about God. You know, people look at their life and they always ask the question, am I exempt? You know, why don't I let the church do it? Why don't I let the public school do it? Why don't I let someone else do it? But I can assure you that none of us are exempt from teaching and training our children. Now, I want you to consider some basic truths each generation must learn and things that we must be teaching in the home. There are five steps that you and I need to be taking in life to teach our children. Now, let me share these with you. First of all, we need to teach our children respect for authority. You know, it seems as though in today's world that people have lost respect for authority. I don't care what you're talking about, whether it's authority in the school, whether it's authority in the home, whether it's authority with the law, whatever it happens to be, you cannot have a relationship with God without respect. You can't do it. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 24 and 25, Moses records these words, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all the things, that is His statutes, to fear the Lord our God, and for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day." And notice what he says, "And then it will be righteousness for us." And also in the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 9 through 11, Moses writes, "Therefore," he says, "know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the law, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. You see, respect for governmental authority is so important, and it's something that we ought to be teaching our children. We don't teach them to go out and gun down people that wear the uniform, as it happened down in Houston. We don't teach our kids to go into a television studio, and even though you may disagree with a commentator, you don't go and gun them down, but you teach them to have a healthy respect for the law. Could you imagine what it would be for us to live in a society with no laws, no government? How tragic that would be. We need to teach our kids that they do have a respect for the government. In the book of Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that are exist are those that have been appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists that authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves." I think of the words of 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and 14, that says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, and you do it for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and to the praise of those who do good." Well, people always ask this question: should we only respect a government we agree with? Now, we don't agree with everything that goes on in our government. We don't agree with homosexual marriage. We don't agree with abortion. We don't agree with euthanasia. We don't agree with a lot of the things that have really become law in this country. But what was the response of the early church to the governmental persecution that was going on? Well, we must respect and obey and pray for all of those who have authority over us, regardless of who they are. And we must disobey our government when it goes against God's law. Now, you may say, "Well, now that's kind of rebellious, isn't it? And what do you really mean by that?" Well, there was a time when Peter and John were summoned before the governmental authorities, found in the book of Acts chapter 5. And in that story, the Bible tells us that they were charged not to preach and not to teach again in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and the other apostles in Acts 5 and verse 29 said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So what happens is when you have a governmental law that violates the law of God, the law of God always, always, and I'll say it again, always takes precedence. You disregard the laws of men that are in conflict with God's law. Well, where does this respect that we're talking about this morning begin? Well, it begins in the home, at school, and dealing with police officers, at work, and in the family. You see, the Lord commands us to have a certain attitude toward all Christians, regardless of who they are. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible teaches us, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Romans 14 and verse 19, "Therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and things by which one may edify another." I'm convinced that God wants us to edify, and he wants us to become spiritual giants before him and before his throne. We all have to be involved in this thing of edification. That means to strengthen, encourage, and admonish one another. But when we think about respect for authority, I think about the words of Hebrews 13 and verse 17. that says in a spiritual sense, you obey those that have the rule over you, that is elders and deacons and those who are in charge of looking over people spiritually. And be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must someday give an account before God. And let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be profitable for you. When Paul writes a letter to the church at Thessalonica, the first letter, he says in chapter 5, verse 12 through 13, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those that labor among you, and those who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake." We must show appreciation for other people. You know, appreciation is something that's almost gone out the window. People never really show their appreciation as they ought to. I'm convinced that we ought to just tell people thank you for what they do. I don't care whether it's the garbage man or whether it's the individual down at the local store who sacks your groceries or whoever it happens to be. We ought to be saying thank you and telling them how grateful we are for them. Teach them to have respect. We ought to be doing it with all of our children. But secondly, we need to be teaching them how to worship God. You know, we teach them to worship. We say, let's go to worship. But what do we teach them when we teach them how to worship God? It is a difficult thing for a child to seek and meditate upon the will of God when he lives in a computerized world with iPads and iPhones, and when they live in a world of video games. It's important for us to impress upon kids the importance of the Word of God and worshiping God. For God is a spirit, John 4, verse 24 says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you see, God rewards people who worship him in a diligent way, Hebrews 11, 6. For that passage says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You know, faith is so important. You know what? Faith is kind of like Wi-Fi. It is invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need in life. And we walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's important for us to understand that. And as parents, you can share with your children the faith that you possess. It is important. Your faith can move mountains, and your doubts can create them. So share your faith with your children and the faith that you possess in your life. Let me say it again. Share your faith. It is important. You know what we really ought to do in reality is to put our faith on stage for other people to see. Now, you're not doing it just for show. You're not doing it in a pretentious way. But what you're doing is you are saying that faith is important to me, and here is how I live faith out in my life. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to teaching them how to build their faith, what are you building to save the world? Are you building faith in the lives of your children when it comes to worshiping God? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible says that Noah built the ark to the saving of his own household. And it begins early in life. It begins not only with parents, but with grandparents too. Grandparents are so important to building and shaping a faith in the life of a child. Paul acknowledged that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 when he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first of all in your grandmother, he said, Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Shouldn't we put Jesus before the eyes of our children? We should. He should always be there. Show them how to worship God. It's one thing to tell them how to worship God, but show them how to worship God. You can read to them. You can talk to them. and let them see that worship is important to you. You know what? If you don't ever take your kids to worship, do you think they're going to grow up thinking that worship is an important issue in their life? They won't. Your children will be serious about those things about which you are serious in life. If you want your children to grow up worshiping God and having a respect for authority and a respect for other people and appreciation for them, listen, it begins with you. And if they don't see it in you, they will not think it's very important. That's why Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, to train up a child in the way he shall go, and then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Moses made it clear to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 7. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today, notice what he says, shall be in your heart. When we talk about how much we love someone, we always say, I love you from my heart. I love you with all of my heart. We ought to say that to God. And we ought to teach our children that we love them with all of our heart. And we ought to teach our children to love God with all of their heart. He says, you shall teach them. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk to them when you sit in the house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise up. Get the picture of what he's saying. He says, you teach them early in the morning and let it be a lesson all day, whether you're speaking to them or whether they're observing your life and they're watching what you do. You do it all day long. You do it when you get up. You do it during the day. And then you do it at night when you lay down with them. I remember my mother and father saying a prayer with me at night before we would go to bed and reading the Word of God to me, and it was so important in my life. I look forward to those times. I know people say, well, we're just too busy today. If you're too busy to tell your kids about God, and you're too busy to sit down and read the Bible and to share a word of prayer with them to God in heaven, you are too busy. You are. It is a great blessing when your child begins to turn to the Scriptures and pray because he has a special need or she has a special need in their life, and they have learned to do that. But you know where they learned it? They learned it from you. Public worship, what we're doing here this morning, is a time for learning. You can either learn or not learn. You can either grasp what I'm saying to you, or you can let it go in one ear and out the other. You don't have to learn. Paul said in his day there were some who were ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. They had a zeal, but it was a zeal that was not born out of knowledge. From the youngest age, there are things that we can involve our kids in, like children's Bible hour, by the way. You need to bring your kids to Bible hour on Sunday night. You want them to start early? You want them to really learn? We'll get them up every morning, make sure they get off to school, but will you bring them on Sunday night at 6 o'clock to make sure they hear the Word of God taught on their level? Putting an emphasis on being at every service teaches them an enormous impact. It does. You know, I can remember as a child, and the question never entered into my mind, are we going to go to worship? Whether it's on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. We always went. We didn't sit home and watch a ball game on television or because we had a favorite program. We understood that God is priority. He's number one. He's the most important thing in our life. He was the most important thing in the lives of my mom and my dad. And he is the most important thing in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. It is the very thing that I teach my children and my grandchildren, that God ought to be first in your life. It is important. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. You know, we go through life seeking for certain things and searching for them constantly. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't listen. The Word of God is available unto us. We don't have to walk by sight, to see our way clear. I hear people say that all the time. You want to talk about something that really angers me in life is when people say, well, we just have to see our way clear. You know what? As a child of God, you don't have to see your way clear. You have to see God's way clear, and God will allow you to walk by faith and accomplish His will. Let me tell you something else you need to teach your children. Not only to worship God and how to worship God and how to have a healthy respect for authority, but thirdly, how to work with other people. Now, we're down to where the rubber meets the road here this morning. How many of you get along with everybody you work with? I can see some stone faces. You ain't cracked a smile. You hadn't budged. You just sitting there, so stoical, but I know who you are. How do you get along with the people you work with? Do you get along with them? There are some basic things that are necessary to establishing a relationship. First of all, I don't care whether you're the boss or whether you are the employee, you have to work to get along with each other. In the church, we have to work to get along with each other. In our country, we have to work to get along with everyone else. And it comes when you start putting other people ahead of yourself. Now, I know you say, well, you know, the company passes all that down to, you know what? I understand that. But when it comes to personal matters, you're looking out for the interest of other people as well. And you're honest. Someone said that honesty is a good policy if it works. No. Honesty is the right policy. I went into a place of business the other day. Dale and I agreed to buy three big magnet boards. They were almost a little over $100 each. They had to order two out of Palestine. When they came in, I went out there to check out. They'd only charged me for one. I got back to the church, and I said, our win, their loss. No, I didn't do that. I saw some mouths drop open. No, I didn't say that. I went back and carried the little ticket, and I said, look, I don't want to get the young man in trouble who did this. And I went to the owner, or not the owner, but the superior there, the manager. And he said, man, he said, I can't believe this. We got about $200 here that you could have just walked away with. I said, you know what? I couldn't have walked away with it, not with my conscience. And I said, first of all, in the sight of God, it's wrong. It was the right thing for me to come back to you and to tell you what happened. This blew him over. He said, well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your honesty. You know what? One way you work with other people is being honest with them. Be a person of integrity, and you'll teach your children to be honest. They'll be honest. They'll be people of integrity. Oh, we all make mistakes, but by and large, they'll be honest, and they'll be people of integrity. Now, when we talk about how to work with other people, you have to teach your children to learn how to listen. Listen to the other fellow. You know what? That's important, isn't it? The Bible says that we ought to be, what? Swift to hear and slow to speak, James says. And then we ought to have a healthy compassion one for another. Be compassionate with each other. A lot of people have no compassion at all. I'm told that when that officer was shot, that some people just drove on by and said, well, isn't that bad? That's terrible. And nobody had compassion. How to work with others is so important because it's important because the kind of relationship they form in the future, your children will be determined by whether or not they have learned early in life to do that. Are you getting along with those in your life that you work with? Are you? Do you? It's important. We have to work together. We do. We have to work together. You see, strong people do not put other people down, but they lift other people up. They are the ones who are working together to accomplish the job, and we ought to then give them the applause button, folks. You give them a strong applause and say, thank you for what you did. I'm going to tell you, you'll get people to do a whole lot more for them, for you, if you praise them and if you show them that you appreciate them, than if you are to become critical and hateful and resentful. The Bible says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Anything in this life takes teamwork. I don't care whether you're talking about a football team, or whether you're talking about the church, or whether you're talking about down at the job, whether you're talking about the family, we all have our part. We all lift. You don't suppress. And it's a lesson that we all need to learn. It takes teamwork to get the job done. Now, I'm going to tell you something freely. The next generation will be under greater pressure in these areas. And if our children let bitterness rule in their heart, they won't be lost, based upon the words of Ephesians 4, verse 26 and following. You cannot allow them to become bitter. Teach them how to work with others. Now, number four, teach them how to make faith their own. It's great that you have faith, and it's great that they will learn of your faith. But how can a young person stand in an ungodly society today? I want you to think about Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel was a great man of God. He was taught how to walk. We need to teach our children how to walk. That's important. We need to spend a lot of time teaching our children how to walk. You remember when you taught your kids how to walk? I mean, they failed a few times, but they learned to get up on their feet and walk. But shouldn't we teach them how to walk with God? That's what we ought to be teaching our children, is how to walk and where to walk. Walking with God is the most important thing you will ever, ever teach your children. And respect for God's word will lead to a careful discernment of all things. It will. The Bible says that Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. But how do I make faith my own? How do we share with our young people and teach them how to make faith on their own? Well, it's based upon Colossians 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father through Him. Teach them. Put them in a situation where they can grow faith, and faith ought to grow. But last of all, teach them how to build a home. Did you know that every house, this building here, had a blueprint? Every house, every structure has a blueprint. And I'm going to tell you something else. Every home has a blueprint. You may have built not according to the blueprint of God, maybe your own blueprint, maybe you designed it, but every home has a blueprint. You're either building according to God's plan or you're building according to your plan. And the father should be the spiritual leader in the home. For Ephesians 5, 23 through 25 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And therefore, just as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Let me tell you something. We've been hearing a lot today about Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter. Let me tell you, the church and membership in the body of Christ matters as well. It does. Jesus died upon a cross because you matter. And our lives should flow from one heart to the other in the home. I'm afraid sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes one is a giver and the other is a taker. There's not a lot of giving on both parts, but there has to be. Love flowing from one heart to the other one. And that is the way it ought to be. And let me encourage you, young people, and let me encourage everyone to marry someone who will help you get to heaven. Heaven should be your goal, your destination, not an option. And if you marry someone that is a Christian, you will see the fruit of your work for generations that are yet to come. And we ought to be praying for the help of God in that regard. For in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Bible says that a wise son will make his father glad, but a foolish son will bring his mother grief. What will be the end of the house that you are building? What will be the end result of it? Psalms 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Matthew 7:24, Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Building strong families does not happen by accident. It doesn't. We must teach and train our children in God's way. You know what? Tomorrow may be too late. It may be. Strong families. Well, that's where family life really begins. And love never ends. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who's training your children? Are you leaving that up to the church? Are you leaving it up to a Bible school teacher? Are you to impregnate their mind with the Word of God? Are you leaving it up to the public school system, their peers at school? Who are you leaving it up to? Shouldn't it begin with you? Strong homes again, and families do not happen by accident. It doesn't. For Proverbs 22:6 again says, to train up a child in the way he shall go, and then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. If we don't teach our children how to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to do it. And you only have one chance in this life. I remember hearing a story one time about a young man who had to stand trial for a crime that he was accused of committing. His father was a well-known rancher, and he was present for all the proceedings. And after the cross-examination and a jury's deliberation, the young man was found guilty as charged. His punishment was a prison sentence, which would take years to complete. As he was handcuffed to be led away to his prison cell, his father looked at him one last time and said, I will never forgive you for the shame and the degradation that you have brought upon our family. You have disgraced us. And when you have done your time, you are not welcome at our home anymore. The young man hung his head in shame and walked away. Years passed, and the man, no longer young, had paid for his crime. With shaking hands and a heart full of dread over the response he might receive, he wrote to his dad begging for forgiveness in the months before his release. In the letter he wrote, Daddy, I am almost ready to be released from prison. I will be on the train that will go right past the ranch. And if you can forgive me, please tie a white ribbon on the tree by the fence. And if the white ribbon is not there, I won't get off the train, but I'll keep on going, and I'll never bother you again. The days passed, and as a newly released prisoner boarded the train. A train neared his father's ranch. He couldn't bear to look out the window to see his father's response to his letter. So he asked the man sitting across the aisle if we would look for him. He said, "Tell me if there's a white ribbon in the tree by the fence." The other passenger stared out the window as the train passed by the ranch. The man held his breath, waiting to hear whether he had been accepted or rejected. And he dared to ask, "Do you see a white ribbon in the tree?" "No," came the reply. And the man's heart fell into his shoes. He had so hoped that time would have softened his father's heart toward him. "No," the other passenger repeated. "There isn't one white ribbon, but hundreds, hundreds." Hanging from the trees, all along the fence, on the wire. What does that mean? The forgiven rancher's son jumped to his feet. And the man sitting next to him said, "What does that mean?" He said, "It means that my daddy has forgiven me. And I'm going home." You know, sometimes in our life we fail with our children. Our children fail us. Life gets tough. We have to teach them, regardless of what they have done, they can always come back home. You know, when we sin against God, He says to us, "Come home." That's why we need to teach our children to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and to be faithful unto God. Maybe you have been estranged from God. Maybe you need to come home this morning while we stand and while we sing.